This is Mark Steiner, and today is January the 14th.
Through history, let us rise to the call of freedom-loving blood that is in us and send our answer to the tyranny that clanks its chains upon the South in the name of the greatest people that have ever trod this earth. I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
In 1963, George C. Wallace was sworn in as governor of Alabama. That line, segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever, became the rallying cry for those opposed to integration and for the civil rights movement. Later in life, on his deathbed, Wallace apologized for his racism and for promoting policies of segregation. And two iconic television programs debuted on this day.
Fred Sanford, I'm glad my sister isn't here to see this and see the awful stain you put on our family.
Listen, Esther, I didn't put no stain on your family. Your family was stained when I met y'all.
Don't you talk about my family.
I talk about your family. Every time a baby was born, they had that ugly stain on them. That's right. That ugly stain. Even Ajax couldn't do nothing with a stain like that.
Dad, you shouldn't be jealous of Apu. Remember, it's all about the music.
I'm not jealous. I'm envious. Jealousy is when you're worried someone will take what you have. Envy is wanting what someone else has. What I feel is envy.
Wow, he's right.
The first clip you heard was from Sanford and Son, which debuted on this day on NBC in 1972. The show ran for six seasons, was nominated for four Emmys. Actor and comedian The Great Red Fox earned a Golden Globe Award for Best Actor in a Musical Comedy for his performance in that program. And the last clip, of course, was The Simpsons, where you heard the voice of Homer Simpson and his daughter Lisa. In 1990, The Simpsons premiered on Fox TV. A Brooklyn trolley strike began on this day in 1895. Martial law was declared, and members of the Knights of Labor battled militiamen in the streets. In an account of that time, it was said the stockholders had found a means of reaping and taking to themselves large and very exceptional profits, and at the same time avoiding and evading certain responsibilities to the laws of the state. In 1941, there was a call for a march on Washington by A. Philip Randolph, president of the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, and political activist Bayard Rustin, to demand racial integration of the military and equal access to defense industry jobs. America and Roosevelt were gearing up for war. In late 1940, Randolph, Rustin, and leaders of the NAACP and the Urban League visited President Roosevelt at the White House. The White House issued this statement. The policy of the War Department is not to intermingle colored and white enlisted personnel in the same regimental organizations. And the president of the North American Aviation Company said, while we are in complete sympathy with the Negro, it is against company policy to employ them as aircraft workers or mechanics, regardless of their training. There will be some jobs as janitors for Negroes. On the eve of that march, President Roosevelt panicked and issued Executive Order 8802 that established a Fair Practices Commission that promised equal pay for black troops and desegregation of the war industries. So the March on Washington movement was called off, and 100,000 people did not march on Washington, D.C. in 1941. And in 2011, the reality and spirit of the Arab Spring came into bloom. On this day, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, the former president of Tunisia, fled to Saudi Arabia after a series of street demonstrations against his regime and his corrupt policies, asking for freedom. The Tunisian Revolution, which led the most democratic reforms in the Arab world, a revolt, was the prelude to the Arab Spring. And we lost two people on this day. In 1887, Abby Kelly Foster passed away. She was a radical American abolitionist who not only opposed slavery, but made it clear she was unequivocally for absolute equality and equal rights for Americans of African descent. She appeared on stage with the formerly enslaved freedom fighters, for which she was roundly condemned by more conservative abolitionists. She was a leader for women's rights, mentoring people like Susan B. Anthony. She said these words, which tore apart the abolitionist movement at a convention. I rejoice to be identified with the despised people of color. If they are to be despised, so ought their advocates be. And in 1898, Charles Lewis Dodgson died. He was better known by his pen name, Lewis Carroll, the great English author who wrote Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. And here's a song for us to think about as we go about our day here on January the 14th. It was written by a homesick Hawaiian while touring in Michigan. And we think about Hawaii on this day, the magical place, the state farthest from the shore of the continental U.S., the real home and the heart of President Barack Obama. How did it become part of the United States? Well, on this day in 1893, a group called the Committee of Safety, made up of American missionaries, sugar and pineapple plantation owners, went to overthrow the Hawaiian government and depose the queen, Liliuokalani. While other names appeared on the list, at the top of the list was Mr. Sanford Dole. Yes, Dole Pineapples led the way to call in the U.S. Marines to depose Queen Liliuokalani, opening the path for Hawaii to become an American territory. And the song we leave you with today is Waikiki by Andy Cummings. The sea. And to continue your exploration of this day in history, visit steinershow.org for resources. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
I hear your rolling surf calling, calling.